May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. The text for today, this the transfiguration of our Lord, is the gospel lesson. Please pray with me. We pray that God bless our sermon and our hearing today. Lord, richly bless the preaching, the hearing of your holy word in your house this day. Grant us the Holy Spirit. Grant us understanding and faith that we follow our Lord to the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay in order. Keep things in the right order. We've all heard those words, said those words before. For example, at school, if kids are lining up to go eat at the cafeteria, a teacher might say, "Now, children, stay in order. You can't skip up to the front. Stay in order. Keep the right order." Or in NASCAR today, I think the Daytona 500 is today. I don't know much about racing, but when there's a caution flag out, what are the drivers supposed to do? Stay in order. Don't try to skip ahead. You got to stay in order. Whoever you're behind, stay behind them. And on Valentine's Day today, there's an order to giving gifts, isn't there, ladies? A special order of how you give gifts. Let's see. There should first of all be flowers, maybe. Flowers kind of get you excited. All right, flowers. All right, something good. Right along with that is the card, right? And then probably the box of chocolates. Do I got the right order? And then you got to go to dinner. There's dinner next. And you have a fabulous dinner. And then after that, coffee and dessert. And then comes the jewelry. Or should the jewelry come before all that so she can wear it for dinner? All right, the bracelet, the necklace, the ring, whatever the jewelry is, there's that. And let's see. Oh, tomorrow morning's kind of a holiday for a lot of people. Breakfast in bed tomorrow morning. Valentine's Day goes on and on and on because you don't just love your wife one day of the year. You love her every day. How's that order, ladies? Yes or no? We forget about giving to the guys. It's Ladies' Day, right? Stay in order. Keep things in the proper order. I think that's a lesson of the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration, this kind of this wonderful but unusual event, would remind us there's order in the kingdom of God. There's order in the Christian life. There is glory. Glory is to come. There's going to be incredible glory. But first, stay in order, there's suffering. There's the crown. Ah, heaven, the crown of life. But first, there's the cross. Keep things in the right order, Christian. Peter doesn't have things in the right order. He doesn't know what to say. Lord, let's stay here. And the text says he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know the order of the kingdom of God. He wants glory right now. Give us glory right now. Rest, glory. I want it all right now. No, Peter. You're out of order. That's to come. But first, there's suffering and a cross. When I think of the Transfiguration, here's a simple little theme I thought of to help us with this order thing. Here's a way to respond to the Transfiguration. Wow, but not now. Maybe stay with me, make sure you got it today. Wow, but not now. When you read the Transfiguration, this nice little text, 9 verses long, your expression might be, like Peter, James, and John in a way, wow, Jesus shining in glory, incredible, dazzling, white. It's almost beyond human description. The beauty, the glory of Jesus. And then there's Moses, Elijah right there. Then there's the Father, the cloud of the Father, and the Father speaks. Wow! Glory! A little snapshot of heaven. A little preview of Easter. Easter's coming. This is a little preview, a little Easter story. Wow! Glory, heaven! We don't have a whole lot in the Bible on heaven. Not a whole lot of description of heaven. There's enough there that we know it's going to be incredible and perfect. The Transfiguration is a great story about heaven. Little snapshot, little picture of heaven to whet our appetite. We would learn 3 things quickly about glory, about heaven from the Transfiguration. We learn that heaven, glory, is a place of rest. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, they're away from the crowds at this time. They go up on a mountain. They're away from all the crowds, all the needs, all the sick, the diseased, the persecutors, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the demon-possessed. All that's away. They're away from all of that. Rest. They can unburden themselves. Take a nap. Ah, rest. And we learn that heaven, glory, is the eternal, perfect rest No sin, no suffering, no sickness, no disease, no death, no problems, no persecutors, none of that. Rest is one thing we learn here. Secondly, we learn that glory, heaven, is a place of reunion. The reunion of all the saints close together with our God. Peter, James, and John, these lowly, pathetic fishermen, they're rubbing shoulders with the greatest men of the Old Testament. They're right there with Moses, Elijah, and of course Jesus, the Son of God. And the Father is there. No doubt the Spirit is there also. Peter, James, and John, these lowly sinners, participating right there in the glory of God. Close together. Reunion. And so we're going to be with Moses, Elijah. We're going to be with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samson, Deborah, Esther, Ruth, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Peter, James, John, Luther, my father, your loved one, your spouse, your mom and dad, your aunt and uncle, your children, whoever died before. We mourn for them. We're going to be with them. Reunion, close with God, away from all the troubles. That's heaven, glory. We can't wait. Peter says it's good to be here. The word good recalls for me creation. When our God made everything perfect, he said it was good. It was good. It was very good. It's as if Peter is saying, Lord, this is like the Garden of Eden. This is the way it's supposed to be. Until sin, sickness, death, the devil entered. This is the way it's supposed to be. The new Garden of Eden, away from all the troubles. Glory, union with God again. And then, more so than just rest and reunion, we learn that heaven is resurrection. The resurrection of the body. Jesus is transfigured. His clothes become dazzling white. He shines, not for himself. He knows he's God. He knows he will conquer death. He knows all of that. He shines for Peter, James, and John. He shines for you and I. It's a preview, as I said, for Easter. He's going to suffer, bleed, and die. It's going to get ugly. It's going to be terrifying. But disciples, don't be afraid. Don't sweat it. The glory is to come. I'll conquer death. I will rise again. And if you trust in me, you follow me, you too will rise. There'll be suffering, death, but you're going to rise. You too will be transfigured. You will shine like the sun. That's the new body I guarantee for you. The resurrection of the flesh, all previewed. A snapshot of all right here in the transfiguration of Jesus. We call today the transfiguration of the Lord. We could call it also the transfiguration of the church. For if we follow him and believe in him, we too will be transfigured in our bodies, a new body, resurrected. You know, Super Bowl was last Sunday. We had a little Super Bowl party at our house. And, you know, they have a party, you got to have food, so we had some chicken wings. And we got 50 chicken wings from Wishbones. Anybody had Wishbones? Give them a little advertisement today. We got a box of 50 chicken wings. Some barbecue, some teriyaki, some mild wings. And it was my duty as the father, my job, to go pick up the wings from Wishbones and drive them back to our house. It's about a 10-minute drive. I got a wonderful box of chicken wings smelling so good. You can just smell them and taste them already. Right next to me in the van, a 10-minute drive, you know what happened next. What happened next? I think about 47 wings made it back to the house. You got to have a taste. You can't wait. Actually, 49 made it back. I just had one. But you can't wait. Come on. You got to have a little nibble, a little taste until you get home. And the transfiguration, if you will, is a little nibble. A little nibble until we make it home. A foretaste, an appetite, a little appetizer of the glory to come. Wow! Wow! But, not now. Keep things in the right order. Church, keep things in the right order. The transfiguration, we can't get too overly excited because it's over quickly. It's 9 verses long. It's not the end of the story. Not even close. The Gospels don't end with the transfiguration. And Jesus went on up into heaven and they lived happily ever after. It's over before it almost begins. And soon there's no more cloud, no more shining and brilliance, no more Moses or Elijah, only Jesus in all his humility again coming back down the mountain. And you know what they face when they come back down the mountain? Right when they get back down is a little boy possessed by a demon. The devil's waiting. The devil's waiting. There's more work to do. Keep the right order. is the message. There is glory, but first there's suffering. There is the crown, but first there's the cross. There is resurrection, but first there's rejection. Don't get ahead of yourself, Peter, James, and John. Life ain't so good here on this earth when you suffer. Get used to it. Expect it. It happened to Jesus. It'll happen to us too. Jesus' mission, you see, is not to shine and show off. His mission is to shed his blood for the sins of the world. That's why he came. His mission is not to rest in a cloud. His mission is to be rejected on a cross. That's why he came. His mission is not to hang between Moses and Elijah. His mission is to hang between two thieves on a cross. His mission is not to stay on the Mount of Transfiguration. His mission is to save people on the Mount of Disfiguration called the cross. His mission is not to be above with the Father. His mission is to love sinners like Peter, James, and John, and you and I, and the whole world, and to give his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's why he came. The greatest miracle of transfiguration is not that he shines in glory. That's easy. He's God. It's not that Moses and Elijah are there. It's not the cloud of the Father. The greatest miracle here is that Jesus comes back down the mountain to go to another mountain, to die. He could have very easily said, "See you all later. See you later, Peter, James, and John. I'm going back home. Good luck." And we all go to hell. It's his love, his grace, his mercy that's indicated as he comes down the mountain with these lowly, pathetic men who don't even understand anything to save them and to save you and I. I want to read some quotes on love. It's Valentine's Day after all. Then I want to give you some better quotes on love. The transfiguration is the love of God to come down the mountain to deliver us. But I read some of these quotes on love. Oh, these are so romantic. Guys, if you don't have a card yet for your wife, maybe jot these down and slip her a card today. One person writes about love: "If I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I could walk in my garden forever." Oh, it's so sweet. "I can conquer the world. I can conquer the world with one hand as long as you're holding the other." Now that is so romantic. "If I could reach up and hold a star for every time you made me smile, I would have the whole night sky in the palm of my hand." Wow. I like this one: "You will always be the answer when someone asks me what I'm thinking about." That is sweet. That applies to Ann all the time, except when I have the chicken wings. Here's a good one, too. "Come live in my heart and pay no rent." Sweet, sweet. Here's something better. You want some words on love? Romantic love's a great gift of God. We thank God for that. But here's some real quotes on love. "Greater love has no one than this, and that he lay down his life for his friends. That author is Jesus." At the Transfiguration, we learn that he would lay down his life for his friends. He comes down the mountain to die. 1 John 4, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the what? As the atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's what Transfiguration teaches us. There is glory, but first, he must be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. So keep things in the right order, First Lutheran. There is glory, but first suffering. Let us now come down the mountain with Jesus. And this Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent, let us go to another mountain. Let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Transfiguration, wow! But not now. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.